Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, hour number two here on Tiki and Tierney. Coming to you live for the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Friday, obviously hanging out. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience here. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Brandon Tierney. Tiki is out today. My guy's back Monday. 1-855-212-4227. I think we'll get a lot of traction with this conversation. Couldn't wait to get into this. All right. So let's just jump into it. Yesterday, Jim Harbaugh, and we spent the good, first hour on this, basically, right? First hour on his comments about Urban Meyer, as you would imagine, because that was not at the official Big Ten media days. That was on Tim Kawakami's podcast. And, of course, all the Big Ten writers wanted to go back and ask Jim about that. Would he deflect? Would he contextualize? No, not really. Here's what Jim said today.
No context you should know about that. I don't think it was anything that was anything new or anything of a bombshell. It's things that many of you all have understand and have written about.
That is a brilliant way of saying, let's not play stupid here, because you know exactly what I'm saying, because many of you have written all these articles and have devoted hours of coverage to find out what the hell's happened with some of Urban Meyer's tenure at, you know, certain spots in his past. Listen to that again. That is subtly brilliant. I mean, there's a couple of ways to attack that. Well, you know, I meant, which is not Jim Harbaugh's style, and I appreciate that. If you say it, stick with it. So he's not going to apologize. He's not going to further bury him. And he's basically not giving the reporters a whole lot to choke on either. This is brilliant. Go ahead.
No context you should know about that. I don't think it was anything that was anything new or anything of a bombshell. It's things that many of you all have understand and have written about.
That's awesome. I'm basically saying, just go check your notes. You know exactly what I mean. Okay, now Jim Harbaugh on the transfer rule, which is what I really want to branch out to a little bit more specifically today. Here's Jim.
For youngsters when they transfer, my opinion is that every student athlete should have a one-time ability to transfer and not have to sit out a year. And then if they were to transfer a second time, then you'd have to sit out a year.
I like that. I like that because that gives a young student athlete the chance to maybe, you know, make amends on a mistake on his or her part, or maybe something that the coach did or the athletic department didn't deliver on, whatever. It just gives you one out without penalty. I think that's actually sensible. I think it's a good way to solve it. And then, all right, now you want to transfer a second time. Now it's a little more you than us in terms of the system. Now we've got to levy a penalty that isn't incredibly punitive. You know, you're going to have to sit a year, but you can still play. But at least there's a repercussion. You know the rules. I like that. If they adopted that tonight and beginning tomorrow morning, it was fully implemented, I think we'd all probably co-sign that. All right? But I want to get to something that one of the coaches from the conference that, you know, just doesn't get the shine. His name is Tom Allen at Indiana, the Hoosiers, right? How about this? This really opens up something that needs to be probed deeper and further. He says, as I read from his transcript here, I think the thing we've talked about as coaches that I think needs to be addressed is the number of initial scholarships we can sign. Right now, we're limited to 25. Sometimes you sign, this is where it gets good, you sign all 25 on signing day, right? A lot of the big schools do for sure. Well, if you do that, you can take no additional guys the rest of the year. So if the guys go in the portal during the spring, which a lot of them do and which a lot of them did, they don't have a place to go. There has to be a plan. If that process is going to stay the same, they're going to allow them to do it the way they're doing it right now. Even if a guy can play or not play right away, that really isn't the issue. He goes on. if we can't take him in our program because we don't have enough initial scholarships, it really doesn't matter. So to me, I think the next step is adjusting the component to say that maybe you get 30 that you can sign in a given year. Or if you lose some, you can replace those guys. However we decide to do it, there's just got to be a way some of us can take advantage of whether or not a kid is out there in the portal. End quote. There's more in the transcript, but you don't really factor that in. You know, you think about this. If you are locked in and you have, you know, whether it's a B+, whether it's an A-, whatever the, you know, whatever, they're all subjective, whatever the grading system equates to, right? But you're done. You're diligent. You do your scouting. You're all for the full rides. 25 guys accept. Your recruiting's done for the next year. Let's get to spring practice and go. Well, now all of a sudden, oh, wow, man, geez, our middle linebacker, you know, his knee exploded during workouts. Man, we need a linebacker. Oh, wait, let's go to the portal system. By the way, is it www.portalsystem? What is it? We'll go portalsystem.com. Think. Look at this. That's right. I remember him. I talked to his high school coach when back in the day. You know what? We might be able to use this young man. But you can't if you don't have any room. I think what Tom Allen said is brilliant. I mean, it's actually relatively basic, but it's brilliant because it just reinforces a notion that nobody really seems to embrace. We talk about all sorts of improprieties and what truly enables a kid to get the waiver versus the young man or woman who does not. I mean, those are things we discuss all the time. Free agency, it's the wild, wild west. Is it good for rivalries? Is it good for the conference? Check. All parts of the conversation. But he says some things that made some sense. This is worth your read. I actually found this on the Detroit Free Press on their website. They listed the transcript pertaining to the NCAA transfer portal of every coach, all 11 in the Big Ten. And, you know, as I went through this before, you know, some were, you know, whatever, didn't move me incredibly. But Tom Allen's jumped out. Jeff Brohm was pretty good from Purdue. Mark D'Antonio didn't really say a ton. We just played hardballs there. That's interesting. 1-855-212-4227. So, you know, back to hardball for a second. I love the guy. You know this. If you listen to Tiki and Tierney, I love him. But as much as I respect him doubling down, I wish that Jim would have said this a year ago. I mean, it's like the boxer who challenges, you know, who starts getting a little wordy toward Mike Tyson when Mike Tyson, after Buster Douglas lays him out, well, you know, or after Mike had two or three resuscitations to his career, if you will. And you weren't saying that when he was laying people out in 37 seconds into the first round, were you? No, you weren't. And I just wish Jim would have said this last year, because now we go into this year, and now we've got really something to settle, you know? And it's time. It's time for Jim to win. It's time for Jim to get. I mean, he's won, obviously, 38 games in 4 years. I get that, but 3-10 win seasons and the 8-5 year in year two. But he's 3-4 in bowl games, and the only bowl game that he won was in year one, you know? And it's amazing. And I realize that Michigan's football history is largely overrated. And if you don't want to accept the word overrated, I'm sure a lot of Wolverine fans don't. How about largely misrepresented? I knew that their bowl record wasn't as good as you would probably think, but I didn't think it was sub 500. Michigan's all-time bowl record is 22-26. Mike is in Colorado. Start jamming out the phones. Mike is on Tiki and Tierney. Mike, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
My God, I'm so much better now. I moved to Durango, Colorado, Tierney, and they don't have CBS Sports Radio.
Well, that's
I've
nice.
Missed you guys so much. And with in light of Mr. Harbaugh's comments, mm-hmm. I figured it's time you guys heard from the Jedi Buckeye.
Let's go, baby. Hit it.
First and foremost, absolutely true. Controversy was there, and I'm so glad we got rid of Urban Meyer because of that. I'm not going to go into it.
Mm.
I don't claim to know any facts about that situation whatsoever.
Okay.
Hate the negative cloud that surrounds it. I feel like it's a distraction. I feel like we made the best move. Moving on.
Hold on. Yeah. Before you move, I want to ask you a question. Stay with me. So I believe you, all right, but I want to challenge you in this regard. When you say you're happy Urban's gone, Okay, you sound like an ethical man, but let me ask you this. What happens if all of a sudden, and I don't think this will happen yet, but what happens if the 11-1, 12-1 season suddenly morph into 8-5? Would you still be happy that, all right, you have a clean program, but Urban's gone? Would you still be as accepting of his departure?
I would be, and it would just add fuel to the fire that, hey, man, and that's tough. You won't hear a lot of people try to go the ethical route, but.
Oh, I know. That's why I asked you.
I'm a true competitor, and that I cannot live with myself knowing that we have that kind of stipulation surrounding. And, you know, it's not even our athletes. It's not, hey, they're cheating on the field or anything. It's, hey, their head coach is maybe doing some stuff. And you know what? Unfortunately, I would still feel the same way, but it would be even a worse situation. I'd be even more upset because,
okay,
great, we've established this legacy. We've brought Meyer in. And now it's all going to go away. But I would rather lose the right way than win the wrong way. Now, to what Jim said, though, like, Jim Giroux.
Jimmy.
What are you doing, guy? Mm. You have this job that literally, I bet, every coach who's not a Buckeye fan would kill for.
Mm-hmm.
You have the keys to that organization top to bottom. You could say, let's change our colors to pink and green, and they would do it for you, Jim. They love you. You're
mm-hmm.
Michigan.
Okay.
You can't say stuff like this, especially, like you said, when the man's gone.
Yeah.
You say it when he's there.
You
look him in the eye, and you say it to his face. Granted, that's not going to be an opportunity that's presented, but you know what I mean. You don't wait till he retires and then wait a little bit longer to make sure he's retired, at least now,
yeah.
And then you come out and say it.
I got you.
Obviously, I'm biased, but, Jim, you're Ofer, okay?
Yeah.
The dude's gone, and you will never get a chance to prove that you have anything compared to Urban Meyer. We took losses in the middle of the season and came back and whooped you.
I know.
60 points.
I'm well aware.
Sounds like bitter grapes to me, but, hey, again, so good to hear you guys' voice. I hope y'all are all doing well. Thanks so much, and God bless.
Good call, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy. Outstanding stuff. You know, the one thing I said, too, if you missed us yesterday, it's not as if the role in the rivalry can't change on a dime. I don't have the numbers. I wrote it down yesterday, but I believe it was Lloyd Carr, I want to say, was 6-1 against Cooper in the rivalry game and 1-5 against Tressel. I mean, it was completely distorted. It was domination, then getting played on a yearly basis. So nobody says that maybe this is the year that Jim morphs into the other part of the, you know, he's got the different part of the, that's a big putt. I'll tell you what that meant after. Still watching the Open. I mean, golf's still going on, D-Cell. Come on, you got to multitask, man. What?
I didn't know if there was a problem with your mic there or what happened.
Just a little 10-footer. I'm going to see if it dropped. You're not into the golf at all, are you? He's just not into it.
Not without the big name. Not without Tiger. Tiger's in it, and I'll be into it.
What if Phil was playing? Let's say Tiger was horrendous. What if Phil was playing?
Yeah, Phil can draw me in.
Okay.
I got to have a draw, though. I'm just not a golf enthusiast.
I got you. I understand. But just to wrap this up, the rivalry can flip. I feel as if this is the year that it could. And wouldn't surprise me if Michigan beats the Buckeyes this year. And then the onus is on Jim to sustain that. And I think they were, the eighth recruiting class? I think they were number 8 or 9 this past year. I was looking that up yesterday. I think they were 8 in one of the sites in Rivals that I looked at. So we'll see. We're not going to solve this today necessarily. But I think the overriding point that we can all agree upon, Jim, probably should have said this a year ago. Come on. Probably should have said it a year ago. All right, coming up next, Corey Legit. Corey played in the Big Ten, played at Illinois. NFL defensive lineman who's still on the street. He's a free agent, but obviously a lot of thoughts about the game. Training camp's coming up. We'll talk to him, see what's happening. And how does a school like Illinois, you know, they've had fleeting moments of success. Kurt Kitner, they shared the Big Ten crown, whatever year it was, 03. I think it was 03. But it's hard to win there. How do you actually win at a school like Illinois? How do you get that train moving? Lovey's trying. We'll talk to him coming up next. Corey Legit, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance on this Friday. Before you know, we'll be saying it's Football Friday. Wow. And we didn't say it's Friday Fool. Probably should have said that as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki is out back Monday, CBS Sports Network. Our next guest, looking forward to having this conversation because there's a lot of pertinent items that we could get to, both collegiately and professionally. And his name is Corey, and I want to make sure you got to lead. You can't just say legit. Say legit. Although if my name was Corey Legit, I would probably change it to legit. I don't know. I probably would.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't. And he's with us now, former first-round pick out of Illinois. We got to talk about that program a little bit. And first-round pick back in the day, eight-year NFL vet. He's on the street now. Somebody's going to scoop him up soon. Second-team All-Big Ten back in 2010. Terrific resume, and by all accounts, a very charitable guy and a good guy. He's doing good things for his school. Corey, welcome to the show. How are you today, buddy? What's going on?
I'm great. Thank you very much for all the great things you just said, man. And, you say legit if you want to.
Exactly. Hey, listen, cutting a check for $250,000 is damn legit, which is what you did for your alma mater, Illinois, you know, which is a tremendous gesture. And that donation, for those who don't know, it's going to feature the naming of the Players Lounge as the Corey Legit Players Lounge, which is a great honor. You're one of the all-time greats there. First of all, kudos for that. How do we get Illinois back on the football map? That is a tough sell these days. How do we make it happen, Corey?
I believe in Lovie Smith, and I think that what he's going to do with the program this year, he's definitely going to get us to a bowl game. In my heart, I feel very confident in him.
Okay.
And that's it. We just got to get the one bowl game, and then the rest is going to come. And I think what Lovie is doing right now and the guys that he's bringing in is now his guys, so I'm anxious to see what he does and how those guys go out there and play for him.
I'm rooting for Lovie as well, and I thought it was a pretty savvy hire. I'm like, oh, wow, you're bringing an NFL name? Okay, there you go. That's a smart hire by the Fighting Illini. I like it. And you might be right. Maybe Illinois does get to a bowl game this year. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see smaller schools, schools that are not small, schools that are down. I'd love to see them kind of regain their footing. I think it's great for college football and basketball. But the problem, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, when it's now year five, and I think early on, if you don't get that initial traction with a sexy hire, as you go into year five and you have a lot of, three, four, two-win seasons, how do you commit the recruits in year five that Lovie Smith is about to change it? How do you do that?
I mean, it took Zook almost 4 years to get us to a BCS, to get to Illinois, to get them to the Rose Bowl that year. So, I mean, sometimes it takes time. I mean, you're in the Midwest, and you're at University of Illinois. We didn't have as many good players as he did now. So now that he's going in year five, I think now it's a chance to see what the players actually go out there and do and how his guys actually go out there and perform. Sometimes it takes a little bit more time for certain programs. Mm-hmm. And we're one of those programs right now. But once Lovie gets his foot in and, uh-huh. and his rowers,
uh-huh.
we get that 8-win, 9-win season,
okay.
It's going to be game over. The Big Ten could be out at any given time.
I love it. Like it was with Kirk Kittner. That's a year you responded to, or you're referring to, I should say, in the early 2000s. And listen, I'm going to back you up on this. Ron Turner starts out.
That was 2008.
I'm talking about the previous one with Kittner when you guys lost the Sugar Bowl in 2001. When you shared the big... I got you.
Yeah.
But when Turner comes in, to your point, and maybe Lovie can do this, Ron Turner's first year was winless. He went 0-11, then he went 3-8, and then he popped with 8 wins, and eventually the 10 wins that got him to the Sugar Bowl. So it's certainly not impossible that I'm rooting for you guys. The Big Ten, right now, where is it at? It's the Buckeyes, no more Urban Meyer. It's time, we're all waiting for Harbaugh to pop through. Penn State's breaking in a new quarterback. There's a lot of interesting storylines. There's the recent expansion, Rutgers, et cetera. Right now, what's the best conference in America? You tell me.
I'm always say Big Ten and then the SEC, ACC, to be honest, because I'm just a Big Ten guy. So I'm always going to put them at number one. But, that's me in my heart. But everyone else would say it'll go with SEC, ACC, then Big Ten, and the critics, and the people that watch college football, that's the way they will rank conference football.
I'm going to disagree a little bit. Put the SEC in front of the Big Ten. Now, if you're a big man, if you're in the same room with me, maybe I'd say, yeah, Corey, we'll give the Big Ten the nod today. But I respect where you're coming from. You got to represent your conference, no doubt about it. That's Corey Legit, proud alum, doing great things for Illinois. And by the way, he's going to be back on the football field pretty soon. Who's calling you? I know teams are calling you. Are you starting to narrow things down? Because former first-round pick, good career, made some money. But I know it's not done. You're going to be playing again soon, right?
Oh, yeah, yes. I'm definitely planning on playing soon. My agent and I, we have a meeting today, 4 p.m. Pacific time, about the teams and going over some of the things that we have laid out in front of us. So right now I'm just taking my time, rehabbing, getting my strength up and staying in shape and just making sure, you know, when I do go somewhere, I'm ready to go compete. Whether it's third team reps, second team, first team, it doesn't matter. I'm here to crack some heads and make some plays.
That's a great attitude. I mean, a guy who was a former first-round pick, a second team Big Ten back in 2010, he's made a ton of money. He just said he's willing to go third team and crack some skulls, crack some heads. That's a great idea. I'll take you on the Jets. I'm a Jets fan. You want to come play for us?
Hey, man, whoever wants me, I'm coming.
I got you. All right, so let me ask you about Melvin Gordon. There's been so many stories about, you know, and also with the Dallas Cowboys, Zeke Elliott, the running back position. Now, Tiki is out today. He would have chimed in on this, obviously. And to Tiki's chagrin, which we all get, the running back is, it is what it is. They draft you, they run you into the ground, and then they get rid of you. When there's a little tread on the tire, it's not right, but it is what it is. Melvin Gordon, if he's not a superstar, which I don't think he is with all due respect, he's a borderline star. He's really good. So the fact that the Chargers are even debating his future, to me, is a surprise. Do you think he's going to be back with the Chargers? What happens with your former teammate?
I would love to see him with the Chargers. I mean, I love that organization. I mean, I love everything they stand for, everything they do. And I just would love to see them take care of the guy. I mean, the guy comes to work. He's not a problem guy.
Nope.
I say pay him, man. And I think Melvin Gordon is a star for sure. He's one of my favorite running backs, not because he's my teammate. It's because of the way I've seen him go from his rookie year to where he's at now. I mean, the guy is just a freaking athlete, and I think he can eat a bell cow to get the Chargers to where they want to go to. So take care of the guy, do right by him, and he'll do right by you because he hasn't done wrong at all.
No, he hasn't.
He's been nothing but a help.
I agree. He's a good kid at this point, good young man. His first year, as you just alluded to, no touchdowns, but then he just started popping 14 total touchdowns this past season. So we'll see what happens with that. Phillip Rivers, you know, I am a huge Phillip Rivers guy. I love him. And the one thing that really I love his competitive spirit. Obviously, the stats are there. He can fling it with the best. Even though he's got a weird motion, he can fling it with anybody. I mean, he is a grinder. And one thing that bothers me, Corey, is we're a little too bottom-line oriented. Oh, Phillip Rivers, he doesn't have one. He's got no Super Bowls. How can he be a Hall of Famer? To me, that's the dumbest, nonsensical approach. If you play, and I want you to talk about Phillip Rivers, obviously, I think he is a no-doubt-about-it Hall of Famer. I think he's a warrior, and I don't think he gets the respect, amazingly, that he really, truly deserves. What about you?
I say you're definitely slapping a gold jacket on him, but I don't know one head coach or one team that does not respect Phillip.
No, I don't. I don't mean that.
The fans.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fan-wise.
Yep.
I mean, to be honest, yeah, fans are fans, and that's why they're fans.
Yep.
They love their favorite players, but at the end of the day, when you go down, if you know football and you break down statistics, mm-hmm. and you watch Phillip and everything he stands for and everything he has done. Granted, yeah, we all have down years. But I mean, damn, even in his down years, he was still so great. His numbers were still good. So men lie, women lie, numbers don't. That's all I can say about Phil.
No, we're on the same page. You know, and the aging process is utterly unpredictable. You know, Brett Favre played a long time. Aaron Rodgers is starting to show signs of, hey, listen, he's still great. We know that. But he's last couple of years been beat up a little bit. Eli very well might be looking at the end of his Giants tenure despite the two Super Bowls. They drafted a kid sixth overall. Daniel Jones to obviously take his job. You never know. I mean, Steve Young got concussed and it was over like that. You just don't know. But to me, just watching Phillip Rivers' body, he still looks physically resilient. I could see him playing 3-4 more years. Do you see that same kind of body, that kind of physical resilience from Phillip?
Hands down, yes, I do. Yeah. I need to see Phil doing it. To be honest, I can see Phil five to seven more years, to be honest.
I think he has it in him.
I'm being serious. I've worked with the guy, so I know him every day. I see him. Phil can do it for another five, six, 7 years. If he wants to.
Okay, seven. Well, he got
a lot of money.
Hey, listen, with all those kids, he better play seven more years. That's a lot of college funds to put out, man.
Yeah, exactly. and a couple of weddings, too.
That's right.
A lot of girls.
Daddy's got to tab the bill. I know. A little princess eventually becomes the adult princess, and that's a big check Daddy's got to cut. I hear you. I've got a daughter of my own. San Diego versus L.A. It's totally different. Give me your thoughts. Just as you hear those words, that comparison, talk to us.
I'm gonna take Dago all day just because Dago is where home is at. You know, Diego is so much better because the people there, it's a football town. San Diego is a football town. The only thing that sucks about San Diego's is the true fans, the ones that if they could afford to come to the games, they would have been at every single game. But it's so expensive in San Diego, that's what killed the morale of our home field advantage and home games and everything. The people that can afford to go to games, I mean, that could not, the true fans could not afford to come to the game. So, and plus, San Diego is a tourist city. So, if your hometown fans can't sell it out,
yeah,
of course, who wouldn't want to come to San Diego for their vacation and time off? You know?
Yeah, yo, I've been there. Trust me, it's gorgeous, great, great American city, no doubt, no doubt about it.
The number two city in San Diego and in the United States after Miami, because Miami then San Diego.
Going to Miami first. Well, that's, you were born in Miami, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you go to high school in Miami, or did you guys move at some point?
No, I went to high school in Miami. I was born and raised there.
Gotcha.
Lived there for 18 years. Then decided to go to Illinois.
I was going
to
say, the Canes weren't knocking on your door? What happened? How'd the Canes ignore you?
Yeah, no, they didn't ignore me. Randy Shannon came in the house. Right. At the time, Zook just had a better sell game. Ron Zook.
Wow.
And those guys were just coming off a Rose Bowl year in 2008.
Yep.
So I was like, shoot, why not? You know, why not?
And, I like it.
The Canes was kind of down at the time. So I just went to Illinois.
That's phenomenal. We're talking to Corey Legit here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So I want to get this out again. Former alum, well, for always an alum of Illinois, former Illinois star, $250,000. You just cut a check, and it's going to the new football facility, and your name will be on the players' lounge, which is amazing. I mean, as you get older, how many kids you have?
Right now, I have three kids.
Okay. I mean, think about this. Their kids and then their kids' kids. This lives on forever, man. What a tremendous accomplishment. What does that mean to you to eventually look up and see your name on the players' lounge? That's phenomenal.
For me, it means the world to me. I mean, because that school, the University of Illinois, did so much for me, and they helped me out. They got me. They brought me. I went up there from Miami, a kid from the inner city of Miami, and just went into a bunch of cornfields, not knowing who I was as a young man, and I came out of there a better man, you know. And I ended up being a first-round draft pick. I went back to school for 5 years, my first 5 years in the NFL, earned my degree in LAS from the University of Illinois, and it's been nothing but great things that ever happened for me at the University of Illinois. So I tilt my hat off to that whole university.
Yeah.
And the whole, I mean, just the University of Illinois as a whole, you know, because we have three different campuses.
Yeah.
It's by far one of the most prestige colleges and one of the best experiences I ever had. It's a true college town down in Champaign-Urbana,
mm-hmm.
and I miss it. If I could go back to college and keep my money, I'll definitely go back to college and keep my money.
Hey, I'm with you, man. I wouldn't mind hopping around go bar hopping either. I'll hang out with you, man. I'll go back to college if I could keep my money. I'll stay in college my whole life if I could keep my money. I'm with you. Listen, we've got to go, but I want to pay you the ultimate compliment. First time I've had you on the show. First conversation I've ever had with Corey Legit, and I could tell right away that you are a great, not a good, you are a great teammate. I could tell, I always tell my wife, I read character well, I read people well, and I could tell Corey Legit, phenomenal person. I could tell.
Thank you. That means a lot to me, Brandon. That really does mean a lot to me. So,
well, listen, we'll get you back on when Tiki's here, so we'll talk it up when you guys are 5-1. Illinois is rocking, okay?
All right, yeah, let's do it, baby.
Thanks, Corey.
Do a lot now.
Good chatting with you, man. What a great guy. Santa was right. It was a fun conversation. I love talking to people that are just interesting and happy and smart and proactive and just Corey Legit. It's a fitting last name. All right, let's get the update for Mac. And coming up after that, football at the 40s. Season hasn't started yet, and already a big problem for my Jets. After Rack, we'll get to that. Coming up next, Tiki and Tierney. Here's Zach. All right, the great Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao, boxing's only 8th Division World Champion, back in the ring to take on the hard-hitting, undefeated Keith One-Time Thurman. It's the World Welterweight Championship tomorrow, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206. Next hour, Aaron Boone losing his mind. And what a stunner in 2019. He's actually being accused of, you ready for this one? Bullying. This is what they're doing. Well, I'm going to get to that. Trust me. Get to that top of the hour. A little golf as well. And the Big Ten conversation on the table with Harbaugh. And that's been on the table the last couple of days here. On Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Brandon Tierney. But right now, a little Football at the 40s. Diesel, you ready? Let's go.
Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Santer, hit it up, buddy. Hit it up.
All right, so we've posited for a very long time that Peyton Manning is likely to either become an owner or maybe a front office guy.
Well,
he actually spoke to our guy, Peter King, and he said it was a little bit farther along than just considering the idea. He said, I've had talks with a few teams.
Jets were one of them.
It never got into any type of negotiation, if you will. I think a couple teams have expressed interest. I've given them that same answer. I've listened. I've just said, that's a job that's not a one-foot, dip-your-toes-in-the-water job. Mm-hmm. It's all-in, all-encompassing. Sounds like Peyton Manning. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when.
Yeah.
Do you, like, obviously Elway made the successful transition from star quarterback to front office.
Sure.
Do you think quarterback is the best position for that role? And do you think Peyton Manning is the right guy to be in the front office?
You know, it's funny. I never really looked at it in terms of any sort of position. I didn't never attach value necessarily to the position. Ozzie Newsome, tight end. I mean, so you don't know. John Elway, quarterback, as Mike said. Usually in baseball, many, not all, but many of the best minds, catchers. You know, you're a catcher. You're seeing the entire diamond or a role player. You know, there's not many stars. I mean, Buck Showalter, he's on ice now, but Buck was a career minor league player, you know. Aaron Boone, obviously, he's got a lot of great players for the Yankees. Aaron Boone was never a great, great player. He was a pretty good player a couple of years for sure, but never a great player. Bruce Bochy, never a great player at all. You know, Brad Ausmus was a catcher and obviously is a good manager. A.J. Hinch, you know, played at Stanford, was a great college player, but in Major League Baseball never really fulfilled. So the point is, I don't think it's position dependent. I think it is passionate dependent. I think there's certain people who need to be around the blood and the guts of the game. And I think Peyton Manning's one of them. So, yeah, I was kind of falling for that ownership thing as well. Like, Jeter went right to ownership. But, you know, Jeter didn't necessarily love immersing himself in baseball. That was, let me go do my thing, get two or three hits, win the game, go home, and just kind of be removed from the game. You know, he didn't really, not that he didn't appreciate it, but he didn't really reference history. He didn't seem to revere what was before him, you know? And I think that, I don't mean to disrespect it, please. I'm obviously not implying that. But I think Peyton wakes up and football is his oxygen. And it's easier to get your fingerprints on a franchise as a GM, even though this sounds odd, more so than an owner. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like it's somewhat plausible, and I'd love to see it.
Some bad news for our gang green. Everyone was very excited about Quinnen Williams, number three overall
best
pick.
In the draft.
Best player in the draft, going to be a star. Nick Saban raves about him, and he is doing so many wonderful things that he's not even showing up at camp. He's still unsigned, one of the few players still without a contract.
Yep.
He was supposed to be on a plane last night. Rookies report today for the Jets.
Uh-oh.
Quinnen Williams is not there. So are you worried?
No. Okay. I'm not worried. I'll tell you why. Number one, this went with the same thing that happened to Sam Darnold last year. Now, this is all slotted stuff, so it's not like you're really nickel and diamond. There's only so much leverage or so much room to possibly negotiate. This is all about, and Tiki's great breaking this down, it's all about offset language, which to me is really a weird thing, although I get it. You know, I have an agent. Tiki's got an agent. We happen to have the same agent. And even if it's a small thing, you still have to do your due diligence and perform and represent your client. So, you know, basically when people say, well, why would you worry about offset language? Because it's almost a defeatist attitude, acknowledging, well, you know, if my guy doesn't materialize to be the player that you thought he would. Yes, that's true. I guess you're leaning a little negatively here. But sometimes it happens. Sometimes a guy gets hurt. And you've got to protect yourself. So I get it. Same thing happened with Sam Darnold last year. That bothered me as a young quarterback. He came in. He showed tremendous growth. Each month he got better. Quinnen Williams plays a position. Now he could play two positions. And Greg Williams is the new DC, by the way, which I can't wait to see what he deploys. He's going to have a lot of exotic looks. So he better get his behind there sooner rather than later to learn all the different things he's going to be asked to do. But on defense, you stick your hand in the turf, you go kill somebody. I mean, really, it's not like schematical complexities. Just go get the quarterback. Go get the guy with the football. I'm not worried. Plus, this guy loves football. We had him up. This young man loves football. I do not think he'll be out long.
Speaking of not being out long, how's that for a transition?
Oh, what a pro.
Emmanuel Sanders, who tore his Achilles 7 months ago,
okay,
is already on the practice field sprinting hard, and they say that he's 2 to 3 weeks away from a full go. 7 months out.
That seems a little unrealistic, but keep going.
Well, I mean, it's not about realistic or not. This is what the doctors are saying. He's already on the field sprinting.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, maybe the Achilles is not the issue that it used to be. Maybe that, you know, modern medicine has helped advance the healing process and the surgeries that go into it.
Huh.
And we talked, obviously, yesterday with Agent Zero, Gilbert Arenas, who was talking about KD and John Wall not tearing their jumping Achilles,
yeah, that was
which is really interesting.
Yeah.
So at a certain point, maybe it's not what it used to be. Like the ACL used to be a death knell. Now, ACL, boom, you're back in 8-9 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, as every Kevin Durant fan just said, whoa, I mean, they just got excited by this, every Net fan. Let me see. It would be great, you know, if he ruptured his Achilles prior, right? He's got two ruptures, I believe, Emmanuel Sanders. Right, Mike? Didn't he rupture twice? I think this is the same. I don't think it's the same Achilles, but I'm almost positive that this is his second rupture. I don't know. So maybe he's a little more familiar with the rehabilitation process. He's also 32, and he plays a speed position, so he's probably incredibly motivated to get back. But and I'm not saying he can't do it. But here's what I'm reading. All right, Emmanuel Sanders didn't participate in team periods, but looked good in what they had him do. That's incredibly nebulous. He looked good. All right. Maybe he did. As I continue to read, he did say he could go to do some team periods if he were allowed. Okay, but he's not. Also, look for Sanders to be full go in practice in 2 to 3 weeks. I'm going to challenge that. I do not believe in 2 to 3 weeks he will be full go in practice. And if he is, then maybe the Achilles is becoming a little bit of a different monster. Not quite as daunting as it used to be. I don't believe that's the case. I wish him well. That seems a little far-fetched to me. I'm a little skeptical there.
We had a lot of conversations about the line between a head coach and a GM. Well, Doug Peterson, Super Bowl-winning head coach for the Eagles, says, quote, "I was hired to be the head football coach, not the GM. I was hired to teach football. Howie was hired to do the job that he does. There has to be great communication and great dialogue between those departments, coaching and scouting." Now, do you prefer your coach to have control over the entire personnel?
No.
Or would you rather have a GM who can have communication?
Yes.
And they can discuss what
yes.
players they want?
I'd much rather have that. To me, that's number one. If you're a head coach, every second you're devoting to personnel is a second you're taking away from planning for the game or planning for practice. You know, it's a lot to juggle. It's hard. It's really hard. I believe, well, first of all, outside of being smart, which is a great weapon, clearly, I think another great weapon is to know your weaknesses, which Doug Peterson so refreshingly seems to do, or seems to know. I mean, now, maybe because you're emboldened by a Super Bowl, you're not afraid to say that, but I love that Doug Peterson says, basically saying, I know what I know, I know what I don't, I stay in my lane, I confer with my guy, we've got a great relationship, he trusts me, I trust him. You know, and I think that that's really good. That's the sensible approach. I believe that's a great dynamic and it's got to be built on trust, like a marriage, and communication. You know, when you stop talking to each other, if you're married, it's going to go sideways. And if you don't trust each other, it's over. And same with a marriage in a front office and a head coach. This seems like a great model, and it's not surprisingly they're successful.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Aaron Boone went nuts. Let's see. Oh, look at Sam Thoreau. Should I read the teeth? There's no crying in baseball. But what about bullying? Not bad. Aaron Boone. We'll get to that coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.